Second Timothy, open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3 just for a few minutes. And seriously, I'm not kidding. I'm not going to preach long tonight because I know we've got a lot to do and meetings to have, and I'm going to get give you a thought that the Lord's been dealing my heart about the last few days, ever since about Wednesday or Thursday, I guess. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is a chapter in the Bible that describes the last days right before the Lord comes back. Now, some people, you hear it preached a lot on TV and these Christian TV shows and radio now, would strongly disagree with what I'm getting ready to say. But according to the Bible, there is not going to be no big worldwide revival before the Lord comes back. Don't look for it. It ain't coming. Now, you know, a lot of people jump on me. I hear some of them preachers, and I'm off in motels, and I hear old John Hagee and Rod Parsley and little gray-headed guy, Jesse Duplantis, and I hear R.W. Shambach, and I hear James Robinson, and I listen to all them guys. I listen to what they say, and I even listen to what them Promise Keeper guys are saying, and I listen to them, and many of them have the tone of voice that it's always God's getting ready to do it. It's coming. It's almost here. And everybody stays whipped up into some kind of a great expectancy of something great's about to happen. Don't miss a night, because it's about, and they keep leading people on for years and years and years for this great revival that don't never come. And you know why? Because it ain't coming. It ain't coming. You can have revival. My home, your home, our church, our community, our city. God can send revival. God can do anything. But this book says, look at it here in 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. That perilous, of course, means dangerous. But we ain't living in dangerous times. You tell me what is. We're living in times when people will kill you just to have something to do. No reason at all. The gangs, you know, the Crips and the Bloods are moving over from Los Angeles, coming to the East Coast. And they say they're all over New York now. And they got these boys, among other things that you got to do to be initiated into the gang, one of like the Crips or the Bloods, you have to take a razor blade, like a box cutter, open it up, run out on the street of New York City, and slice the whole face of a total stranger. That's part of your initiation. So you can just be walking down the street shopping, and all of a sudden some fool run out down there and mess your face up for the rest of your life. Because you'd have to have plastic surgery, possibly bleed to death, cut down into the bone through your nose all the way across for no reason at all. These guys are laying in parking lots of shopping centers. They find a nice, real expensive car. See a lady get out going. They say, well, I'll give her an hour or so, you know, 10 or so, and she'll be out in a little bit. And they'll take a few hits of acid or something while they're waiting on her, and lay underneath the car. When she comes out, they're laying underneath the car, grabs her ankle and slices it with a razor blade, with that blood, that real strong blood vessel there, and of course knocks over down. She passes out in the blood, robs her, gets her car, credit cards, whatever. We are living in perilous times. You got more locks on your doors now than you've ever had. We have to have more policemen than we've ever had, and still can't keep peace in our major cities. Listen, you saw what could happen a few years ago in Los Angeles. If the crowd wants to, they could turn. We could have a revolt in this country. We're living in dangerous, perilous times. The Bible said they'd be here, and they're here. I heard Ed McAbee say one night a few years ago when I was preaching, and he said this, and it got a hold of my heart. He said, when I first started preaching, which I don't know when that was, maybe in the early 50s or somewhere along in there, he said, when I first started preaching, I would read that scripture and say, perilous times shall come. He said, I don't say perilous times shall come anymore. I say perilous times are here. I want to show you just a thing or two about this tonight. And I don't have an outline or anything like that. I do have just a point or two I'd like to make. And let you know how bad we need camp meeting, how bad we need revival, how bad we need a move of God, how bad we need our prayers answered, how bad this world needs to know there is a God. Somebody was telling me about some of these young people. I showed you the Marilyn Manson video the other night, and I preached on that up in Maryland the other night. Boy, we had kids saved, and it was a great service, and I got to thinking about poor old Marilyn Manson. If he only knew that the Lord was using him to win souls, he'd die, wouldn't he? I'd love to tell him that. I'd love to say, guess what, man? I appreciate your help. I've been winning souls right and left off your video you made over there. But that's how God can do. This thing's getting worse and worse and worse. And they said that when they come to near Louisville, Kentucky, one of the teachers up there in the school said, all these kids, weird-looking kids lined up trying to get in. They said they're standing there and handing them gospel tracts. Those kids would look at them with a demonic look or something like that and just eat them tracks right in front of them. Eat them. Eat the track. And you know, the Christians, then they're like, okay, see you around, you know. Like, you know, what are you going to do? What are we going to do for the generation that we're living in? They had some young people up there at that church the other night. They were boyfriend and girlfriend, living together and everything, and did not know that it was wrong. They told them it was wrong. They said, what? This is a sin? They wasn't trying to be a smarter, but they did not know. I know some of you all folks say, oh, that's not true. Everybody knows. Listen, brother, we're living in a different generation. We are living in a different... There's been a whole new crowd come up in the last 15 years. And what's happened is our churches, you listen to me, churches have lost touch. Brother, we've lost touch. There's a new crowd coming up out there, just like the Bible. There arose another great king who knew not Joseph. Well, there arose another generation that don't know God, don't know the Bible, don't know church, and we're in a perilous time tonight. Perilous time. It's a dangerous time that you and I are living in. Listen, I heard about not long ago, a little boy, an 11-year-old boy, pushed a 9-year-old boy in the swimming pool. The little 9-year-old boy, who could barely swim, was trying to get out. The 11-year-old boy stood there and kept putting his foot on his head, pushing him down in the water. The little 9-year-old boy kept trying to get out. Finally, the 11-year-old boy sat down like this and put his feet on his head and held him under until he quit breathing. 9 years old from 11 years old. We have kids nowadays that are 12 and 13 and 14 that are committing crimes that hardened men, criminals, 50 years old wouldn't have done 30, 40 years ago. Now what's happened? They've seen so many murders and bloodshed on TV. They've seen heads blowed off. They see their throats cut to where it's just normal. They say, I just like this. I'd like to see what it feels like just to kill somebody. And they're doing that. Brother, we are living in that time. Somebody said, they made a study the other day, and they made this study and they asked a question on TV. Does TV have an effect on behavior? That has got to be the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. They said there's no scientific proof that TV has an effect on people's behavior. That's unbelievable. Anybody can be that stupid. Listen, when I was 12 years old, I sat there and I watched them boys play ball, and I sat there and I watched every move they made, and as soon as a commercial come or halftime come, I grabbed my ball and I went out. I tried to be like them. I tried to jump like them. I tried to shoot like them. I won the jersey with their number on it. What you talking about? TV don't affect kids' behavior. And if all they see is murder and rape and blood and crime and rebel against the parents, what in the world we expect this generation is going to do? We're living in perilous times. We better have a camp meeting. McDowell County's full of it. McDowell County's full of child abuse. McDowell County's filled with spouse abuse. McDowell County's filled with crimes and drugs and everywhere. We better have a camp meeting. It's the only hope for this generation. I tell you what. I read about a 16-year-old girl who, I think something in Indiana, 16 years old. She was molested by one of her counselors, and they took her to a doctor down the street, and he began, so he could help her, and a psychiatrist, and evaluate her, and he molested her. And they said now that child, I'm talking about little kids now, 4 and 5 and 6 years old, that the statistics are so high of child molestation, sexual molestation, that we don't even scratch the surface. People say, boy, that's molestation charges are up. And did you know that's not the tip of the iceberg? Did you know about half or maybe more of most of the kids you see out running up and down the street have in some way been molested when they was a child? Brother, we're eat up with it. We are eat up with it. Did you hear me? Brother, we're living in that day. It's unbelievable. It's unreal. It's unbelievable. You don't just let your kid go home with anybody. You can't do that in this generation that we're living in. You can't just say, Mama, I got a friend in school. I'm going to spend the night with him. Okay, honey, you be good. Those days are gone. You can't do that anymore. Amen? You better be careful. We're living in perilous times. You can't, I wish I didn't have to say this, but you just can't trust people no more like you used to. I'm telling you what, it's unreal. I was in a certain state, not this state, another state. I was sitting there, you may have heard me say this, poor little girl. She's an angel to her parents. She was standing in the kitchen one day. Her mom had dishes here in dishwater, you know, just letting them soak or whatever. I don't know why she let them just sit there like that. And the dishwater, and the little girl, about 9 or 10 years old, I was sitting over here at the table, and Mom and Dad was gone in the yard somewhere. I was just sitting over here reading or finishing eating something. I noticed that little girl's over brushing her teeth, and she'd brush her teeth, and I noticed she'd spit, and I'm thinking, she's spitting in that dishwater? And I watched her for a second, and I said, surely she ain't spitting in that dishwater. Sure enough, man, she just like get a big old mouth full of it. I mean, and it's that white stuff mixed in with your spit, you know, so it's kind of clear. And it was white, and she'd just go right in that dishwater with them dishes. Oh, I lost that, the sicker I got. About that time, she turned over and looked at me and seen me look at her, and she went, I'm mean. She turned this thing up. She said, I'm mean. I said, you sure are, you little brat. I didn't say that. But I thought, man, if your mom and dad, if your mama knew that you was in here, see, you can't take it. You can't take it for granted that your kids is always going to do right and everything going to be right. And you don't know what they're doing. Hey, man, they're a little rebel. You have to help them. You know what lady told one of our young girls? Christian lady, been in church all her life. Raised a pastor's kid, said, my daughter is college age now, and she's dating this boy, and he's all right, I guess. And she said, you know, I told her now that I really wish that she wouldn't have sex, and I wish she would remain a virgin until she's married, and that's my wishes for her. But if she decides not to, that she should be careful and be safe. That's a Baptist right here in this town. And somebody told me the other day, they said, well, you know, my kid's gone wild, but they're 16, and after they're 16, there ain't nothing you can do. Where in the world did that come from? What you talking about after 16? What has age got to do with it? Age has nothing to do with it. Where they live has something to do with it. If grandma lives at our house, grandma's got to do what everybody else does. Amen? Grandma's going to have a family altar. Grandma's going to roll her wheelchair in there and pray with us. Grandma's going to do it. Amen? That's right, brother. I like what old Jack Wood told his church down there, buddy. He said, if you live in Jack Wood house and eat Jack Wood food, you're going to do what Jack Wood said. Not in this generation. This generation don't believe like that. This generation says, have you seen these stupid shows? I was somewhere. They're coming out with more and more of these nuts on these talk shows. Man, they're weird. They're getting worse and worse and worse. Little chubby girl Lake, and she had one on there, and they had that old bald-headed yellow man. He's yellow, but he's bald, just slick bald-headed. What's his name? They have one on that, and I saw on there, and it had a little caption, you know. It shows this teenage girl, and all they're doing is just exploiting these people to make money. And that poor little old young'un sat there, she's about 14, it said something like, I hate my mother because she won't let me, you know, run around all night and all this kind of stuff. And you know what that little girl thought? She thought she could just run around, do whatever she wanted to, go on drugs, stay out with a boyfriend all night, and come in, and her mama wasn't supposed to say a thing about it. And guess whose side the audience was on? Look at the mother like, oh, you have no right. You know what they told her? The audience said, said, now, lady, if you force her to do it, she'll just rebel. So you better just let the boyfriend come over and spend the night at your house so you can watch them. And they'll be, oh, brother, we have lost our mind in this generation. Son, I'm telling you, grandma and grandpa and back, a few generations back, you try bringing your boyfriend home and say he's going to spend the night and watch what happens. He'd never spend the night nowhere. He wouldn't be able to sleep that night nowhere, I guarantee you that. The time he got through running, they'd fill him with buckshot. I mean, grandma would beat him up. I'm telling you, brother, we're living in everything's gone crazy and backwards nowadays. Did you know killing by 18-year-olds is up 125%? Teenagers killing. That's for drugs and stuff. And this is what I want to show you here. See that? That's a Xerox copy of something I got in Maryland this week. I'm going to read it to you. This is a little booklet for boys and girls. It's an excerpt out of a book that's going to be put in the public schools, possibly, in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. They are distributed by a guy named Carl Silverman and the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And this is in response to the Gideon Testament. They're saying if the Gideons can put their testaments in the school, we can put our literature in the school. And the name of this little book is God Is Just Pretend. And it's teaching little boys and girls here. Here's little boys and girls reading. And back here on the back, little boy and girl with an atheist sweatshirt on. And the title of the book is God Is Just Pretend. Now, I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read you what just some excerpt. Now you take little bitty kids, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. Here it is. Quote, why do so many people believe in a God? It's just like Santa Claus myth. People believe in God because they were told God is real when they were young children. Why do some people not believe in God? If you use your mind, you can think why. No one has ever seen God. No one has ever taken God's picture. No one has ever found heaven, God, or angels. They are not real. Many years ago, people didn't know very much, so they invented God to answer their questions. Some people do not believe in God because they know that religious stories can't really happen in real life. Listen to this. It's teaching kids. Everyone knows that snakes don't talk. Donkeys don't speak human language. People don't walk on water or float in the air by themselves. But the Bible says all these things happen. So the Bible can't be true, can it? Children are told that Jesus was a man of love. But he told some people to cut off their hands and pluck out their eyes. Jesus even said that we should hate our parents. The Bible says he drowned 2,000 pigs, and he believed in a hot hell where God will burn people who do not think the same way as he thought. Is that nice? Do you believe that? Atheists know that even though many people believe in God, it is just a myth because it can't be proved. If you could prove God, then there would be no atheists. And think about this. If God made everything, then who made God? That is to be distributed in the Waynesboro, Pennsylvania area school district as a public service. No one can tell you what to think. Not your teachers, not your parents, not your minister, priest, or rabbi, not your friends or relatives, not this booklet. You are the boss of your own mind. If you have used your own mind to find out what is true, then you should be proud. Your thoughts are free. If you are an atheist, then you know that God is just pretending. Now you take a little old kid and put him in a classroom. He can't read the Gideon Bible. They won't even read the Gideon Bible to him. They can hand them one, they can take it home. Let's look at this. Why do so many people believe in God? It's just like Santa Claus myth. Proof? No proof. A kid is just supposed to blindly accept what this idiot says. I'm the great authority. It's just like Santa Claus. There's nothing to it. Oh, really? Okay. We're supposed to believe that just because you say it, right? You know what you call that? You call that faith, and you call that following a man. Religious doctrine. Just a different religion. Look on down here. It said, why do some people not believe in God? If you use your mind, you can think why. What's that saying? That's saying anybody who believes in God ain't using their mind. See how slick that is? Oh, really? You mean to tell me you believe everything in this world and the planets and the stars and the moon, the sun, and the air and the atmosphere and everything got here all by itself, and you call that using your mind? Did you know your blood cells in your body are so fixed where if they were just any little bit different, you couldn't live? Did you know your eyes can focus better than any camera that man's ever made? And man had to make cameras. They didn't evolve up from a pile of a little metal and glass in the floor. They had to make the very fact that man had to make cameras and man had to make watches and man had to make things shows you that something don't come out of nowhere by itself. If you use your mind, you know there's got to be a God. If a man says there's no God, he's a fool. He's a fool. You say, well, Brother Danny, they're educated. He's an educated fool. Plenty of them. I don't mean this disrespectful. Some of the dumbest people I ever met in my life had a college education. They educated beyond their intelligence. No one has ever seen God. Well, they sure have. Jesus said, he that has seen me hath seen the Father. No one has ever taken God's picture. Oh, come on now. No one has ever found heaven, God, or angels. That's a lie. People have seen God. People's in heaven right now. And people have seen angels. They are not real. Another lie. They are real. Many years ago, people didn't know very much, so they invented God to answer their question. Our response to that is, nowadays, in the 1990s, people don't know very much, so they invent evolution and New Age thinking to answer their stupid questions because they ain't got enough sense to believe the Bible. Amen? They can throw it at us, we can throw it right back at them. Amen. Some people do not believe in God because they know that religious stories can't really happen. A religious story, reckon what in the world that is? What is a religious story? These ignorant people, they don't have their terminology right. You mean a story out of the Bible? Is that what you mean? Can't happen in real life. Everyone knows that snakes don't talk. Brilliant, man, brilliant. And anybody with any sense knows that he wasn't a snake when he talked to Eve in the Garden of Eden. God cursed him and put him down on his belly. He could talk good when he talked to Eve. People don't walk on water. Jesus did and Peter did. Or float in the air by themselves. Amen. Donkeys don't speak human language. Well, porpoises don't talk neither. Well, you spend all that money down there at SeaWorld. Saying, oh, we communicated with the dolphins. Yeah, bull. Amen. Amen. We can go back at them just like they can pull it on us. The Bible says all these things happen, so the Bible can't be true, can it? Sure it can. Here it says Jesus told people to cut off their hands and pluck out their eyes. He did not. He said it'd be better for you rather than going to burning hell if you cut your hand off. That's what he didn't tell nobody to cut their hand off. Lying to them kids. Misrepresentation. Amen. Jesus said we should hate our parents. He said no such thing. Jesus made the statement that if our love toward him, that when we accept him, that we should give him all of love, and our devotion to him should be like hate to everything else in this world, our own life also. That's what he said. The Bible says he drowned 2,000 pigs. Don't done it. Don't say Jesus drowned 2,000 pigs. The devil got in them and drowned them. The demons went out of the man, into the pig, and they went down there and committed homicide. That's the first case in the Bible of devil ham. The devil did it. He believed in a hot hell where God will burn people who do not think the same way as he thought. Lie. There is a hot burning hell prepared for people who won't accept his payment for their sin. But that's the way they do. They'll say, oh, you believe everybody's going to hell. Don't think like you think. No. We believe everybody's going to hell that don't accept the payment for their dirty sin. And look here what it says. Is that nice? Sure it is. Wouldn't be nice if God let sin stay out here forever and ever and ever. Sure, it's nice that God made a hell. That's what he thinks about sin. He's holy. It's not nice for you to think you should just get to live like a devil forever and ever and ever. But you know, you take a little kid and say, is that nice? Little kids go, uh-uh. Do you believe that? Uh-uh. You take a kid anything you want to. I mean, you really can. That's why they need to be in a Christian school and hear the right thing first. Amen? I just wouldn't let my kids sit in class where they teach me come from a monkey. We had a big debate about that this week. This girl up there, she's going to college, and she's going to be teach biology and teach creation, and she said she had to teach evolution. I said, how are you going to teach evolution? She said, well, I have to. I said, you mean you're going to teach them? They can't. She said, I don't tell them I believe it, but I have to teach it. And you know, I got to think, I don't know. I'm kind of wondering if that didn't be right or not. You know what I'm saying? She said, we're allowed to teach creation and evolution, but we are not allowed to influence the kids. Well, they got to make up their own mind. Boy, if I had to do that, I know what I'd do. I'd say, it says here come people from monkeys. It says they come from monkeys. Monkeys. You know what? God made the world, kids. God made. Some people say, you know, it turned into a toad frog, and then it turned into a chimpanzee. And it, but you know what? The Bible says, God. I'm not giving my opinion. But you know me, what I really believe is going to come out anyway. It comes through my faith, man. What I really believe. And it ought to. I don't think a teacher should be like a computer and just say, and so we see that. Da, 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 da. And just, they ought to teach it. I don't know, man. I believe I'd slip something in there somehow. I believe you'd almost be sinning not to take a stand and tell them what's right. Amen. Atheists know that even though many people believe in God, it is just a myth because it can't be proved. What a slick, low-down scumbag. They said, oh, you can't be a God because it can't be proved. Well, let's see you prove that there ain't one. You can't prove there ain't no God. One of them Russian astronauts went up there in outer space, went around the world a few times, and come back and announced, said, there is no God. We went up there and we didn't see him. He didn't go nowhere near where God lived. Man, some old timer said, jump out of that thing if you want to find out there's a God. That's right. Well, we're living in those days. We're living in those days. When I do my church presentation for you coming up, I don't know, I ain't had much time to work on it lately, but I'm going to get to work on it, Lord willing. You're going to see what's going on in religion and church. You know what's being popular now? Thumping hard music and dancing. That's what's coming everywhere. And you can tell the spiritual temperature of a church by the music that it has and sings. And you can also tell by the volume of the congregational singing what kind of church you got. And I want to tell you, we're living in the last days. There ain't but one thing we can do. Just hold God's unchanging hand. Get down to business. Do our fasting. Do our praying. Say, God, help us to stay right. Do right. We're living in the hardest time ever was. More temptation. More pull of the world. More everywhere. Just hang on, stay straight, and live for God, and just pray the Lord just bless us real good. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every head bowed. Everybody bow your head now. This evening, what I want us to do is just kind of prepare our hearts for camp meeting. And you might want to just say, preacher, I want to just get around that altar tonight. And I want to pray God really do something in my life. Amen. Father, do what ought to be done. We know we're living in wicked, the last days. We know we're living in a time when people hate this book and hate what we believe in. Oh, God, give us grace to be faithful to it. We can't do it by ourselves. We ain't strong enough. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.